Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy in the rinse straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. Now, John, that woman's name was Eva Adele. She's 89 years old, a Holocaust survivor, and she was judged, and I believe it was this, Judge Colleen Kohler-Cotelli? Was she the one that imprisoned her?
Let me take a look. I got to go back. I think the one that I saw was a different woman. She was 76 or 78 Hang on here. Okay, this is the headline. Wicked leftist judge who blocked Doge at Treasury is the same woman who threw 78-year-old pro-life grandma into prison and mocked her on the way out to the door.
Okay.
There you go. No, they're not the same. Now, whether she did the other one, I don't know. But the headline is about the 78-year-old grandmother she sent to prison with a medical condition, and she mocked her as she was taken away to prison.
There's got to be a special hot place in hell for this Judge Colleen Kohler-Cotelli. That woman needs to be investigated, and she needs to be brought up on charges. From which anti-God, anti-American charges, what she did. Okay. So, she's an extremely wicked woman, an extremely wicked woman. Here, I'll just read that article. Judge Colleen Kohler-Cotelli wrote her order, Treasury officials will not provide access to the payment record or payment system of records maintained within the Treasury Bureau of Fiscal Service. Here is the link to the order. Well, she'll be overturned. That's going to get overturned because now the Justice Department is on our side, the side of Americans, and not the side of the Antichrist Communist Deep State. The ruling comes after multiple government employee unions brought suit over who could access the material. And why do you think the lawyers and the unions didn't want us to know, right? The lawsuit claimed...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised... They'll find out that the unions were getting money too, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And I would not be a bit surprised if she didn't get some of that money herself. I mean, that's the way it works. The way it's set up, they could just say, look, you'll get it. Just tell us what it's going to cost us, and we'll pay you. But you got to stop this, okay? That's because it's corrupt. That woman, that Judge Colleen Kohler, Cotelli is as corrupt gets. So the ruling comes after multiple government employee unions brought suit over the, which we could access the material. The lawsuit claimed Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent improperly allowed Elon Musk's team to access materials, supposedly exposing personal financial information to unauthorized people. Very good. All righty. That woman that we were talking about, the 89 Holocaust survivor, her name was Eva Adele. This is an interesting thing. This is Isaiah Carter, a former staunch Democrat and Biden supporter, has publicly renounced his allegiance to the Democratic Communist Party. He says Carter, who had once voted for Biden but also contributed financially and featured prominently in Biden's celebratory America the Beautiful video post-election, has expressed deep, deep regret and anger toward the party he once called home. You couldn't have been too smart there, Mr. Isaiah Carter, really. Carter's announcement came through a video titled, I Hereby Renounce the Democratic Party, where he lambasted the party for betraying its core principles and engaging in what he described as a deceitful and fraudulent activities. According to Carter, the Democrats, which are communists, have misrepresented their stance on several key issues, including their commitment to the middle class, peace, assistance to the impoverished. No kidding. You know, what about the little children, Carter? Mr. Carter, what about all the little children that were molested thanks to your party? Thanks to Joe Biden, the pedophile in chief. He goes on, this, and he used profanity here, a blankety-blankety political party. The Democratic Party has lied to us about everything. Well, now you finally figured that out, right? They've lied about being a party of the middle class. No kidding. That's why. I mean, haven't you watched all of those that come out to promote the Democratic Party? Hollywood, all of the liberal elites. You know, they're the party of Epstein and P. Diddy, aren't they? What do you think, John?
I'm just speechless, Pastor Ernie, when you look at the Democrat Party and what they are, what they stand for, what they've done. And now they're being brought out in the open. And well, first of all, it was horrible what we knew already with abortion and transgender. But this whole thing about destroying America and corrupt the world. I'm on a little bit of a tangent here, Pastor Ernie, because I think, and this is sad to say, the condition of America before all this came out and Trump putting an end to it, we were like the whore of Babylon in Revelation 17. We were like corrupting the world, Pastor Ernie. And that's... now it's in one day it's like come to an end. And these are the people that were doing it.
Well, that's the title of my message. Babylon has fallen, fallen, fallen. We're going to take a look at and compare what's happened in the past with what we just witnessed was happened in the scripture in here. We're seeing the Bible's filled with types and shadows, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is, Pastor Ernie.
And so here, and we're seeing these things happening right before our very eyes. History repeating itself over and over. Now here we go. Richard Grenell explodes at Biden's administration and exposes the conspiracy in Guatemala. Okay, here, Joe Biden regime and USAID, led by Samantha Power, have been accused of funding radical left-wing groups, destabilizing governments, and pushing globalist agenda in Hispanic America. What they're not telling you, though, is about the child sex trafficking in Guatemala. John, it's just like you just it's like going into the marketplace and ordering a child and doing what you want with them. They're there, and they got the corrupt government behind them. Well, I'm not going to say the government so much, but here you've got the deep state, and we know that even the Secret Service was involved in that. Explosive allegations claim that millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars have been funneled into socialist NGOs, extremist. Oh, John, that reminds me. Have you seen the ads now that Catholic Charities is running over and over? They've increased their ads. I mean, I never seen the Catholic Charity run so many ads. Do you know why that is?
I'm sure they were deep involved in trafficking the children.
They were top of the line as far as the NGOs that got the money. Also, you know, we just read to you there about what's her name, the witch in the Episcopal, the Episcopal ministries.
Marianne Buddy?
Yeah.
Bud?
Yeah.
Bud? Something like that.
Yeah, what did she get? Was it $45
million?
$53 million.
Oh, and Pastor Ernie, they specialized. They specialized in transgender, homosexuals, anything like that. They specialized in bringing them in and getting them set up. Their specialty was like homosexuals and transgenders and that.
Here we go. It says, Joe Biden's administration and USAID, led by Samantha Powers, have been accused of funding radical left-wing groups, destabilizing governments, and pushing globalist agendas in Hispanic America. Explosive allegations claim that millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars have been funneled to socialist NGOs, extremist activists, and projects aimed at destroying conservative values in the region. For example, the United States Agency for International Development, that's USAID, wasted $32,000 of taxpayers' money to find the creation of a transgender comic book, to fund the creation of a transgender comic book in Peru. According to information compiled from the government portal USA Spending Gov, the contract awarded to the Peru U.S. Educational Exchange Commission was executed through the U.S. Embassy in Lima and had the backing of the State Department. Meanwhile, $1.5 million was allocated to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in Serbia. $70,000 to a musical with the same focus in Ireland. $47,000 to transgender operas in Colombia, the report detailed. Richard Grindel, former ambassador and top Trump ally, has raised a red alert. Enough without using USAID political, boy. USAID funds chaos, abortion, gender ideology, and judicial, boy, that judicial manipulation. We know all about that, don't we?
They go after real, they're very intelligent, Pastor Ernie. They go after, like, judges, district attorneys, mayors, governors. When you get that power, once you've got people in power like that, the havoc you can wreak. So, yeah, they're very strategic in how they use this money to corrupt.
Absolutely. You've got an open pocketbook, an open purse there. Speaking of powers, under Samantha Powers' leadership, USAID has been accused of, one, injecting millions into organizations promoting abortion and the LGBT sodomite agenda, funding extremist groups, okay, that destabilize conservative governments and Hispanic America, illegally pressuring political leaders to accept Washington's imposed leftist agenda. Elon Musk, for his part, exposed other activities such as research in laboratories with biological weapons that were funded by USAID. The diplomatic sources and former intelligence officials claim that USAID had been used as an ideological control tool, rewarding socialist allies and punishing those defending Christians and conservative values. The scandal has reached a boiling point. An investigation in the U.S. Congress are imminent. Boy, I can't wait. Because here's what the screamers are out there, Maxine Waters and the screamers are out there, saying, this is vengeance, this is revenge. No, this is justice. John, if we let this stuff go unpunished, what would the result be?
Well, you encourage them to, as soon as sometime in the future, when the system, maybe it arises again, they'll be boldened to do it because there's no punishment for it. And encourage
absolutely.
Raphael, I have a headline.
Yeah, go ahead.
To go along with this. Mm-hmm. It says, Trump announces he will sign executive order to eradicate anti-Christian bias in America. President Trump on Thursday announced he will be signing an executive order to make Attorney General Pam Bondi the head of a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. To confront such weaponization, the religious persecution today, I'm signing an executive order to make our Attorney General, who's a great person, the head of a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias, Trump said. It's about time.
And so here, you had under Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, not only were they going after kicking the doors down at 3 o'clock in the morning to pro-lifers just for praying outside those bloody abortion mills, they were going after homeschoolers. They were infiltrating churches. They were going to a PTA, Parent Teachers Association, or school board meetings, and they were trying to intimidate and interrogate parents who were concerned about what was being taught and to try to take away their First Amendment rights. So Merrick Garland needs to be...
Oh, yes. All of them. All of them, Pastor Ernie. You know, in Guantanamo Bay, we have a military base there, and it's used as a prison. And they have 30,000 beds there, Pastor Ernie. They've got it set up for 30,000 beds. So we can get all the corrupt FBI, CIA, Justice Department, State Department, all of them there. And they can have a nice little place there in Guantanamo Bay.
I was there for a very short period of time, and that was not a good duty station in here. I had managed to come down with acute tonsillitis, so I got right back on the next boat going back over to my home base, which was in Fort Davis in Panama, which I never. Wasn't there very much, but anyhow. So I got out of that. That was a good experience. Yeah, Guantanamo Bay is not a good duty station. You're restricted to the camp, and at least I don't know what it is like today. I don't know what the relations are there today, but back then you were restricted. You couldn't go off base, and it was not a nice place. But I understand it's improved a whole lot since then. But, So do you think that, do you think there's room there for Liz Cheney? And, because she committed treason, right?
She committed everything, Pastor Ernie, everything.
I know she's one of the ones that got a pardon, right?
So, yes, but, all of them on that committee. I think there's 8 committee members. All of them were pardoned, and 4 police officers the Capitol Police. They were pardoned.
Now, that pardon was just, they only covers the crimes they admit to, right?
For it to be effective, they have to go before the judge. Their charges have to be brought up, and they have to go before the judge and admit that they were guilty. They have to admit they were guilty, and then the pardon is applied to them.
But now, so the pardon's applied to what they admit to, but she's committed a lot of different things. That now, under investigation, she's probably not going to know all what they have on her, right? And so what about Merrick Garland? I didn't hear that Merrick Garland got a pardon to you.
No, he did not. No.
Well, then, I'm going to tell you, he committed treason. I sat and watched him lie under oath to Congress time after time after time. I watched him do it. Same thing with Chris Wray.
I was just going to say, Wray also, both of them.
With a Chris Wray had that little smirk on his face as he was doing that, right? And now I know that Jim Comey, I know he made the whole circuit going from TV program to TV program, and even wrote a book talking about how he knows that Trump's going to come after him. He knows that, trying to somehow get some help, okay? And he admitted to. Pardon?
Ernie, what about those judges on that special court for spying on American citizens. And you remember that the FBI lied to those judges?
Oh, yeah.
And the judges did nothing. Remember?
Yeah. They might have got some of that U.S. aid money, huh?
Oh, they got a lot to spread around, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, they certainly do.
But the FBI perjured themselves before judges, federal judges, over, you know, getting warrants to spy on Americans. They lied to the FBI, and nothing happened to them. I mean, they lied to the judges, and nothing happened. They should be held, you know, in contempt of court, and for nothing else.
Absolutely. Rafael Santos, a Portuguese writer and political analyst, is dedicated to educating Hispanics on traditional values and the importance of protecting children and families. With years of experience in media and public discourse, he has been a strong advocate for cultural preservation and moral principles in an ever-changing world. Passionate about culture, sports, and current events, Rafael brings an insightful analysis to political and social debates, striving to empower the Hispanic community with knowledge and a deeper understanding of the issues that shape their lives. So here's a guy that's writing about all of this here. In fact, the article, he writes about the conspiracy. And now here, you know, with Samantha Powers. So let me go back here. The scandal has reached a boiling point. Investigation in the U.S. Congress are imminent. Trump and his allies are denouncing Biden's deep state abuse and demanding justice. Will Samantha Powers be held accountable for these grave accusations? I'm hoping that she will be. I mean, I'm really hoping that again, folks, this isn't revenge. I know, because we're going to have some of those out there on the left, and even the prissy preachers saying, "Oh well, you have to forgive and forget." No, you can't do that with these people. They committed high crimes. Okay, and so, and I know if you ask Ron Paul calls to shut down. Well, he called the shutdown, actually, a day before they actually shut it down. He asked back on, I believe it was Monday, for them to shut down. Let me see. It would have been Tuesday. The writing is on the wall for the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and former Congressman Ron Paul isn't holding back. As President Trump's administration begins an unprecedented federal overhaul, USAID has been found itself in the crosshairs, exposed as a slush fund for globalist intervention in rather than true humanitarian organization. And leading the charge, none other than Elon Musk. Boy, they're really going after Elon Musk, aren't they?
They have been for quite a while, Pastor Ernie. You know, he bought Twitter, and he turned it into X, and they tried to. Oh, they actually asked. I don't know who they are. It was some liberal politicians asked Garland to investigate Trump, Musk, and stop him because they know how dangerous he was. So now, I mean, he's their worst nightmare. And he's brilliant. He's a brilliant man. And do you know anything about the team that he assembled around him, the Doge team?
From what I hear, they're a bunch of very young, I guess, what would you call them, nerds?
Oh, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they are geniuses in the computer work, and he has a team of them. They're all like, I don't know, 180 IQ on up types. So they're going through there and, I mean, just getting right to the bottom of everything they need to. So he's got this. In fact, they're attacking his team now. They're identifying who's on his team, and they're doxing them. you know, doxing them as you expose them on the net and where they live and their finances and all of that. So they're doxing. They're trying to stop. They're going after his team now to try and get them to stop.
Hmm. And leading the charge, none other than Elon Musk, whose newly formed Department of Government Efficiency has begun systematically dismantling wasteful spending. It's barely been 2 weeks since Musk took control of Dodge headquarters and Eisenhower Executive Office Building with a mission of cutting federal spending by up to $2 trillion and the first dominoes to fall. U.S. aid, according to Musk, was it even difficult to identify the biggest offender? Oh, yeah, you know who they're going after next, don't you? They're going to take an audit of the Pentagon. He goes on to say,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that just happened today, Pastor Ernie. That broke just like when the show started, that he announced that the Doge is going to go into the Pentagon. And they haven't been able to reconcile. They've had some audits going already in the Pentagon, but there's like huge amounts of money missing in it. No idea where it went. No idea if that's going to be.
If I remember right, when I was in the military, we had, I believe, the total military was like 24 star generals. I'm not sure, but I think today there's like 60 of them out there. I just remembered this is an unbelievable thing, okay? And they all get, you know, when you're a four-star general, you're living pretty high in the hog. And so let me just go here. He says, and Doge did to check to see what federal organizations were violating the postal. POTUS, the president's executive orders, the most, turned out to be USAID, so that became our focus. All Doge did was to check to see what the federal organization was violating and the executive orders the most. Turned out that USAID, so that became our focus. Former Congressman Ron Paul calling the agency to be audited, exposed, and ultimately dismantled. Well, it was dismantled. They fired, I think they said they had 8,000 employees, John, and they kept 300?
Pastor Ernie, it was 14,000, and they have a couple hundred. It's under 500, I think, that they're staffed with now. They went down from 14,000 to 500.
Yeah, okay. And those were just the to keep the lights on, I guess. And here, in his weekly report and audit, then shut it down, Paul lays out a dramatic, damning case against the agency. The closing of USAID may be one of the most significant changes President Trump has made among many dramatic actions in the first couple of weeks in office. Many Americans will still have the idea that USAID is a government agency delivering relief at disaster sites overseas. They may still remember the bags of rice or grain with the USAID logo on them, but that is not USAID. USAID is a key component of U.S. government regime change operations worldwide. USAID spends billions of dollars every year preparing are propping up NGOs overseas to function as shadow governments, eating away at elected governments that the U.S. interventionists want to overthrow. Behind most U.S. foreign policy disaster overseas, you will see the fingerprints of USAID from Ukraine to Georgia and beyond. USAID is meddling in the internal affairs of foreign countries. Something that would infuriate Americans if it happened to us. Here now, again, I wanted to say, I've been watching Catholic Charities. They're running ads all day long now because people are finding out that how involved they are in the child sex trafficking, and it's just absolutely amazing. And, you know, the Pope is involved in all of that. Just unbelievable, you know, how corrupt things are. These are definitely signs of the times that we're involved with today. But we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy, he has some interesting things to say, too. But this is a good start, so I'm waiting for him to audit the Pentagon. That's when you get into the huge bucks, huh? Be right back after this.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's enormous amount of corruption in there.
Hang tight. We'll be right back.
It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she could see the light. Two souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know. Not just a pleasing. Don't try to walk away. There's no way to run. You better count your blessings. Keep them while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the sun. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finished preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. There's no way to run. Even count your blessings. Please him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the sun. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the sun. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. Please him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
Alrighty, we're back. And do you remember Bill Kristol, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. He was a rhino Trump hater.
Neocon, yeah. A former conservative and neocon who was the founder of the Weekly Standard. Boy, I watched that thing go right to the left. A prominent conservative magazine from 1995 to 2018. It was conservative when it closed after all of its writers went never Trump. And guess what? Nobody would buy anymore. They wouldn't. They lost everybody, okay? Since President Trump came in on the scene in 2015, Bill Kristol lost his mind And this one-time prominent conservative did all he could to trash President Trump and smear his movement. Well, Bill Kristol and the Weekly Standard were no friends of the gateway pundit. But guess what? They received millions. Him and his magazine is still one broke from USAID. So there was another part of the matrix there.
Well, so, Pastor Ernie, what do you think about the New York Times receiving money from the federal government like this? Do you think that it's cut off, that the Times may go under now? Because they're not doing well. None of those liberal rags are doing well. So if they're going to lose millions from support from the federal government, maybe they'll go under.
I would hope so. Who is it that, was it Bezos that owns the New York Times? Or one of the big billionaires owns the New York Times. Who? Do you remember who it is?
I think he's from Mexico, Pastor Ernie. Mm. It was bizarre, the bizarre connection between the owner of the New York Times and, I believe, Mexico.
Anyhow, the New York Times is a rag, right? But every now and then, they'll fool you, and they'll actually write something, they'll actually drop a dime on one of their own. And you wonder what they're all about, don't you?
Well, they're not as much about making money as their ideologues. I think the average, well, newspapers are almost out of business now anyways, because everything's on the internet. But the average wants to make money. But those like the New York Times, the Washington Post, and a couple of others, they're ideologues, Pastor Ernie.
The Epoch Times is doing all right, though. They seem to be growing.
You're connected. Weren't you connected to them, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah. When we first got started, when they were first starting, we interviewed them on the radio talking about that, and then we actually ran ads in their paper. They ran ads, for our radio program in their paper. But then they grew so fast that they kind of just. I haven't really been in touch with them like we used to be, but I had them on the radio program, interviewed them several times when they were just getting started. Same thing with remember World News Daily? With Joe, when he was first starting, when he just had it, was just an idea, just starting out to put out his newsletter, we had him, we interviewed him on the radio. And we helped them to get started. A number of them like that.
Is that Joe Kocha? Was that his name?
No. I'm having one of my senior moments. And I know the guy, we had him on. He was on with us several times. And, oh, boy. But a great guy. The other one was... Let me see. I'm trying to remember when it first got out. They were really doing good, and it was something by. Oh well, I'll think of it. But we were right with them in the very beginning. We had them on the radio to help them get started. But anyhow, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana has a way with he does have a way with words when it comes to the left's latest freak out over USAID. He does not disappoint. During an appearance on Hannity, Kennedy said, "It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow." Kennedy is right. When the time arrives, we will see an even bigger meltdown from the communists there. Here, he goes on to say, yeah, the Department of Education Boy, the NEA is the world's, the country's largest union. What's going to happen to them?
They are awful. I hope that that thing collapses and is gone, never to be heard or seen of again.
Yeah, it's here, you know, to show you the insanity of the left. What is the one thing that schools need to stay in business? They need students, don't they? Right?
Right, and, right, absolutely.
And so the NEA, the biggest unions, are pro-abortion. Their biggest thing is promoting killing children so there will be fewer children to go to schools, okay? It's kind of insane, isn't it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I don't know how many years ago this was. I'm going to say about 10 years ago. Vermont was in a desperate situation because they had no children for schools and they had no children for college because they don't have children and they abort them. Vermont's probably one of the most liberal states. So their colleges put an ad out in various news sources or media sources begging people to come to Vermont so that they could keep their colleges open. So here, but they would they give up abortion? No, they would not give it up. And they were putting themselves out of business with aborting the children and not having children. And then they had to beg to have students come in from other states. How's that?
I look at that as criminal insanity.
Yes. Yeah. They will never give up abortion, Pastor Ernie. Abortion to them is like a nice juicy bone in the jaws of a pit bull. You're not going to take that bone out of the jaws of that pit bull. And these liberals, hardcore, woke, and whatever else they are, they will not never give up abortion. Even if it's like self-destruction, they will not give it up.
It's because they hate God. They hate God with a passion. They can't touch God. So in their minds, they're getting some satisfaction by destroying his image. And boy, I'm going to tell you, they're going to pay the price, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, being part of killing children, standing before the Lord. And what man makes legal, it's God's word that stands, Pastor Ernie.
Well, see, the American people have been so desensitized by the indoctrination in the media, and not just by some of the left. Some of those that are supposed to be in the pro-life movement itself are guilty. They're very guilty of this. Here's what, you know, God's word, the Bible, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, John, you know, we've talked about this several times. There were 5 points in there, very clear. And the third point was the most important because the third point you find in that Noahic covenant was the entire purpose. The entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And he tells you there in that those that violate, those that destroy God's image deserve not only to die, but burn in hell, okay? And so it's clear, right? So now, that's what the Bible teaches. So then people like me, you and I, we preach this. That's the word of God. But there are those out there that have been, even those that are supposed to be pro-life, saying, well, that's being very harsh. Where's the love? The love, you dummy, is telling people the truth, telling them the truth, okay? That's the problem we have with these panty-waist, prissy preachers, okay, that don't have the honor, the courage, integrity, and decency to stand up and boldly tell the truth. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. And so here, you know, you've got this such compassion on these women that have gone out at 3, 4, 5, you know, killed 3, 4, 5 babies. And but they act like that, if it's legal, it's all right, okay? And I've even had prissy preachers, gutless and spineless, guys I wouldn't hit a dog in the backside with, talk about how you'll never see them protesting abortion as long as it's legal, because Romans 13 says they have to obey God or the government, even if it's corrupt. These are spineless, prissy preachers. These are worthless. They're dumb dogs, as it says in Isaiah 59, verse 10. Dumb dogs, too afraid to bark. They don't have the courage to stand against a corrupt government. And that's the bottom line, right?
So, well, Pastor Ernie, if that's the case, if the corrupt government comes after them, they should just take it. You know, they shouldn't look for any help or any, protect us from the Nazis and stuff like that. They should say, well, it's the law. They're coming to get me, and I'm just going to submit to it, and that's it. Kill me. Go ahead.
They're the ones that will cry the loudest when that happens.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. What it is, Pastor, I mean, it's really deep down inside. It took me many years to kind of figure this out, dealing with creatures like that. But deep down inside, they're cowards. Really, that's what it boils down to, Pastor.
You're absolutely right. You're so true. That's exactly what it boils down to. When you come right down to it, they just have... And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. But those guys definitely are not righteous, are they? No. We're coming up against the clock now. How much time do I have there, Eric?
Like 7 minutes.
John, you got 7 minutes. You know what you need to do.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do first, Pastor Ernie, is thank the Lord for what he's done for America. He's
amen.
Right in front of our very eyes. Amen, Pastor Ernie?
Amen. You're right.
I mean,
yep.
We knew in one area we were like Sodom and Gomorrah. But we didn't know what was going on under the radar, and now we do, and the Lord did this. So, Father, we thank you for this election, and you spared President Trump as they tried to assassinate him, and many other things they tried. But, Lord, it's come out so soon after his inauguration. The terrible, terrible corruption. America was corrupting the world, Lord, in many, many ways, in every evil way you could think of. That's all been exposed now. The money has been cut off, and we pray any other areas in our nation and in our government that is being used, the money is being used to corrupt the America or the world, please expose it, shut it down. And then, Lord, those that are responsible for this, we're asking for justice on them to be dealt with, to be put in prison, and so that we could see justice reigns. So we thank you for all we've seen. It's amazing what you've done, and we're asking for every area to be cleaned out, Lord, of corruption. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, thank
folks,
you, John.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Ernie. Now, folks, we're talking about corruption. We're talking about evil. There is right and wrong. There's no doubt about it. And because the government may make it legal, for example, Nazi Germany, what it made legal. The government made it legal doesn't mean that it's legal in God's eyes. God, the Word of God, is supreme over man's government. So we know that there's right and wrong because it's clearly laid out in the Bible. So we want everyone, listeners, to be on God's side, not just in your mind, but in your heart. And to be on God's side, we have to go along with his word. And the gospel is very simple, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Bible, and that he was raised from the dead, bodily raised from the dead, That's the scriptures. That's where eternal life lies. God also puts a part of the gospel of repentance. In Luke, it says that repentance and remission of sins means the penalty done away with, shall be preached in all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So repentance is a direct part of believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also that when God sent Jesus, he was the only, actually he's the holy, the sinless, only begotten Son of God, totally unique. Jesus came from the Father to us, sinless. He lived a complete sinless life. If, because he was sinless, he can be our Savior. Everyone that sinned needs a Savior. Christ never sinned, so he could be our Savior. And what he did was, on the cross, he took the terrible penalty for our sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. So the way we've seen him die, I mean, he shed his blood, he was whipped, he was speared on the side, he was speared, put a horrific crown of thorns. Those thorns are huge, as they grow in the Middle East, driven into his skull. That was the pain, the penalty for sin. That's because of God's love. Jesus Christ did it for our love. So you can have assurance of eternal life by repenting of sin and believing that Jesus Christ, the sinless, only begotten Son of God, died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin. So he became, in effect, a sinner, and his righteousness, because he never sinned, was placed on us. And therefore, we can have eternal life. And God becomes our Abba Father. And remember, he rose from the dead. He bodily rose from the dead in power. And that same resurrection power can be in our life. So if you want eternal life, right now, you can repent. You can admit to God, I'm a sinner. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from it. And I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I will serve him forever, and that because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I have assurance of eternal life. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Yeah. 1 minute, okay, John. Sure.
Okay. Did you want to add to what I said?
Well, just that God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear, folks. There's nothing that ever existed, nothing that ever will exist. That's as sure as the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass, but God himself has said his words will never pass away. So don't run out of tomorrow's. When the preacher preaches that, then that's the Lord. The preacher's just a messenger. So we're at that time where we say, thanks for being here with us tonight. We want to say to all of you out there, have a great weekend. God bless. We want to say good night. And then we want to say always. Let's do it. Keep fighting.
Fighting.
The fight.
The fight.
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 And fight. Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Eric?